It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
It's almost that time. Time for you to kick back, relax, and binge on some unturn-offable TV. You can start streaming the world's best shows on Binge. Like Ballers, Entourage, Game of Thrones, Raised by Wolves, and loads more. Start streaming now with a 14-day free trial for new customers at binge.com.au. Binge. It's unturnoffable.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm your co-host, Andrew Mensel. Joining me, as ever, is Paul Dennett. Paul, how are you?
Good. Tired. I watched the cricket last night, but I'm happy. Happy the cricket's back.
Happy the cricket's back. And you just heard Ben McDermott smashing the Renegades all around the park in a famous century. And now Ben joins us on the podcast as our next guest on the Winter Series. Ben, how are you?
Good, guys. Yeah, a little bit tired as well myself. Watched a little bit of the cricket and struggling today. But, yeah, no, going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on. So, for the listeners out there, Ben has just been selected in a 26-man squad to potentially tour England later in the year for T20s and ODIs. Ben's also played 12 times for Australia in the T20 format. Now, Ben, we're starting off all these interviews by asking our guests, what is your favourite moment in cricket so far?
I think that in yourself, just what you said, playing my first game of T20 cricket for Australia in Dubai, I think that was definitely the highlight so far. It's I managed to get a catch or two in the first innings, then finished it off with the bat and hit the winning runs with Darcy Short at the other end. So that was probably the highlight of my career so far, making my Australian T20 debut.
I bet. And on the other side, what's been a sort of the toughest day for you in cricket?
I'd say actually about a week after that, I think I recognised the highs and lows of international cricket that week. We played Pakistan in a 3-match series and I ran myself out 3 times in a row. So that was definitely the downfall. And I realised quickly then of the highs and lows of international cricket.
Now tell me, when you're walking off and you've been run out for a 3rd time in a row, what's going through your mind?
The first two were I sort of just brushed it off and it was like, oh, yeah, it happens. But then the third one, I sort of got in a mix-up with Maxi. I thought there was a run there and he said he called me back. But the first two were just blatantly my fault, you know, hitting to mid-off and running. So that was just a bit of nerves, I guess. But yeah, that third one really hurt. I thought I was hitting the ball pretty nice. I think I was on 20-odd as well. So yeah, that was frustrating.
What about this, the 26-man squad that you've just been named in? Were you expecting that? Was that out of the blue?
Yeah, I didn't actually know that we were going to be touring. I think it's obviously still up in the air whether that's going to go forward or not. So hopefully that does. But yeah, that was a big surprise. I only sort of found out about it the day before. A few boys were talking about it, and there might have been a few whispers of it. You know, being an extended squad first of all, and then found out the next day from George Bailey that I was in it. So yeah, exciting to be part of that 26-man squad and in there. You know, in the front of their minds for limited overs cricket.
Normally, they probably cut it down to 15 or 16, but the indication this time is that it might be bigger. Have you got any idea what the final size will be?
I'm not exactly sure, but I'd imagine that they'd want to take, be cautious of how many they take because they can't really replace people like they used to. So, yeah, I can't imagine what that will be, but I don't think it'll be the standard 16. Be a bit more, I reckon.
You said George Bailey reached out to you to tell you about your selection. I guess, did he give you an idea of what sort of role they're looking at? Is it that sort of finishing role in the middle order?
Yeah, that's generally what I've been doing in T20 cricket. You know, it's pretty stacked up the top there with, you know, a lot of good players. So, and a lot of good players missing out in that as well. So, yeah, that's been my role in the last sort of year or so, is playing in the middle and trying to get as much game time as I can there and, you know, being exposed to that middle order and how tough it can be at times. So hopefully I can sort of nail that and try and lock in a spot there for the future.
Yeah, it's good that George Bailey's now selected because you would have played, you know, a lot of cricket with him. So he would know your game really well.
Yeah, that's it. No, he's a really good bloke and I really enjoy playing with him. He's just great to bat with. He just sort of talks you through your whole innings. So he's going to be missed sorely. I'm going to miss batting with him. And at the same time, it's nice to know that he's up there for the selective role and can give me as much information as he sort of can. Easy to talk to sort of guy.
Yeah, don't try his funky stance though, would you, Ben, with your back to the ball? I'm not sure about the merits of that one.
Neither am I, mate. I don't think he was either. But no, he loves trying new things. So I'm sure there was a method to his madness there.
Now, have you given any thought to what it would be like going to England? I mean, we were talking about the cricket we were watching overnight, England and the West Indies, you know, they're in a bubble, so yep, to speak. Have you, you know, cast your mind forward about what that could look like for you?
Yeah, you don't have to look too far. You sort of just see what the test guys are doing over there at the moment. I reckon it'd be very similar. I could imagine that it'd be sort of, you know, those two grounds. I'm not sure how many grounds have hotels at the ground, but I know that that Old Trafford and Hampshire have hotels at their ground. So yeah, I'd imagine that it'd be really exciting and good places to stay.
Yeah, definitely. So last summer, I saw you had a go. You were given the captaincy for a couple of domestic one-day games for Tasmania. I know there was a few people unavailable,
yep,
but that must have been, I guess, a big boost to be, you know, seen in that way. And what was it like sort of with your first experience in leadership?
Yeah, it was difficult. I'd never done it before at that level, obviously. I'd done it a lot previously at club level and stuff like that. But, you know, never like that. We've got a lot of good players to choose from and you can't really go too wrong. Like, I mean, you just have to look back and see what, you know, captains before me did with bowling changes, etc. And that was all that needed to be done. It was just a matter of choosing when to bowl your best bowlers and you know, when you needed to bowl your spin and, yeah, just stuff like that. It wasn't too hard. It wasn't rocket science, but I really enjoyed it. We won one out of two. So, no, it was nice to do it and nice to know that they backed me in for that sort of stuff.
Before that, when you made the move down to Tasmania a few years before, What was behind that, and what was it like moving away at such a young age?
Yeah, it was difficult. I only moved down a rookie contract, so that was financially a tough move and a big decision to make, moving away from home at that age without, you know, the financial backing too much. But I was delisted from Queensland, so that was a pretty easy decision where I had to be in a cricket environment where I thought I'd be best. That's where I thought I'd be best off. I think that you're not really going to improve too much from being out of the squad and coming in and training in club cricket and trying to force your way back in that way as an 18-year-old. So I thought that I'd stay into the cricket system and be there full time and manage to get a game in Shield cricket at the end of the first year on rookie contract and sort of did really well there at the MCG and held my spot there for the next 5 games and ended up getting an upgrade anyway. So it was nice little reward at the end of that rookie contract.
Mm. It seems like there's a really tight-knit unit in Tasmania with the cricket community.
It is. Yeah, it's what obviously one of the only premier sports down here at the moment, in terms of being televised, etc. So AFL's massive, but it's nice to, have the backing of our full state, as in we try and get up there for a few games here and there for Big Bash up in Launceston and obviously play all the rest of our home games in Hobart, which is a really strong fan base. So, yeah, really, really strong fan base throughout the state of Tasmania. It's been excellent so far.
They love the Canes.
They do, yeah. Especially up in Launceston. But no, Hobart's got a really good fan base behind them as well.
Do you ever look back on previous generations and wonder what it would have been like to play back when you had a long, uninterrupted Sheffield Shield season and you could really focus on red ball cricket? It's such a haphazard thing now. Do you look back and wonder what it would have been like?
Not really. I think it's really exciting how the cricket's sort of heading at the moment. But I guess it is. I reckon your game would probably get better if you just constantly played the same format over and over again. But I really enjoy the chopping and changing and playing different formats. It just improves you, I think. And I think it makes some of my best Shield innings have been off the back of Big Bash. So it just changes you and it makes you play differently. And sometimes it makes you play more aggressively as well. So not really, but yeah, it is interesting to sort of think about.
Yeah, we were talking actually before you came on about, maybe the Sheffield Shield and the IPL might go sort of head to head later in this year, and maybe some of our domestic players would have to go and play the IPL instead of the Shield. But I think that would be good preparation. I mean, the IPL is such a high standard, it wouldn't really matter.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the only thing that you might have to worry about there is some of the players that are going away for us, are they going to be in the best 11 in all those IPL teams and they're going to miss out on domestic cricket and they're going to just sort of be training in IPL franchises and instead of playing domestic cricket? That's probably the only worry there. But I reckon, yeah, it's going to be pretty decent cricket and you're going to get pretty exposed no matter where you go. So, yeah, interesting year. So I'm interested to see how it all folds out.
Yeah, I think sort of generally you don't want players preferring overseas tournaments to domestic tournaments, but I think this year we just have to throw that out the window.
That's it. I mean, yeah, it's just interesting to see how the schedule is going to shape up and like this whatever number they're going to take to England as well. That's those players that are not in the best 11, they're going to be missing out on domestic cricket as well. So, and they're your best players in the country, limited overs cricket, missing out on some Shield cricket at home. So, yeah, as I said, interesting year. I'm looking forward to how they go about it. I know Cricket Australia will be thinking about that sort of stuff as well. So we'll see how it all pans out.
Have you given any thought to, if you do make the final squad for England, what it'll be like under fairly draconian lockdown rules? It looks like it'd be probably, 3 weeks where you'd be playing cricket and basically not doing much else. How would you approach that?
Do you like video games?
No, I don't. But I love that sort of stuff. I could just play cricket all year round. So, I'd just throw myself at the cricket. I don't really think that it'd be too much of a hassle for me. I love it. So, yeah, that'd probably be right up my alley, to be honest.
Now, Ben, one of my enduring memories of you is that beautiful 114 against the Gades in early 2017. At one point, the Hurricanes were needing 14, 15 and over, and you ended up just smashing your team to victory. Was that sort of the best you've ever hit them?
Yes, I'd say I haven't had many of those sort of days or nights where, every cricketer sort of says that they've had that sort of feeling where you can't really miss the middle of the bat and everything's sort of going your way. And that was one of those nights for me. And yeah, very, very nice, exciting game. And I just wish I could have been there at the end with Stuart Broad at the winning runs. But yeah, it was just all going my way, and miss hits were dropping short of fielders, and miss hits were just going just over the rope for six, and found myself in the middle of that a lot of the time as well. So that was a good night. I think a lot of cricketers can say that they've had those sort of days where they've zoned in and they just don't feel like getting out.
I think part of one of the challenges to being a good batter in T20 cricket is when the asking rate is starting to sort of go up and up, you've still got to try and keep it cool, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think at that stage in my career, if it was around 8 or 10 and over, it could have been a different story. It was just going up, and there was no choice. You just had to go get after it every ball. And it got to that stage where Bales again, I was batting with Bales, and he just sort of said, we've got to go. There's no other option. And I remember going out before that innings as well. Damien Wright, our coach at the time, just said, was really calm and just said, have fun. Just go out there and smack it. So I think that was massive for me. I had no choice but to just slog every ball, and it sort of just came off. And that was the beauty of it.
Was the impact on that, was it a life-changing innings? Did you notice things different? You're on the radar of a lot of people much more after that. Did it change your life?
I wouldn't say it changed my life. I felt like it was going to help in games going forward, where I'd sort of locked in that position for the Hurricanes. But yeah, it just felt like I'd locked in a position for the Hurricanes at that stage, and I'd won a game for them. So that was probably the best part about it. But I didn't feel like it was going to change everything. I knew that it was still plenty of work to do, and still is. So yeah.
You've had a couple of interesting, what I'd imagine would be interesting overseas experiences in 2018. One was the Canadian T20 tournament that you played in for Winnipeg. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I sort of went in blind for that. I think I didn't even know whether we were going to be based in Winnipeg, or I'd heard stories about Winnipeg being really really cold and a tough place to live. But that was a really exciting tournament. We just were based in Toronto there and played at the one ground and played some good sides and managed to play with David Miller and David Warner in my side. And that was an awesome experience. I was over in England at the time playing club cricket, and I just, remembered. I forgot that I went into the draft and just woke up one morning and saw my name pop up, and ended up going over to Canada for 4 weeks, which is really exciting, and, I loved it.
It's almost that time. Time for you to kick back, relax, and binge on some unturn-offable TV. You can start streaming the world's best shows on Binge. Like Ballers, Entourage, Game of Thrones, Raised by Wolves, and loads more. Start streaming now with a 14-day free trial for new customers at binge.com.au. Binge. It's unturnoffable.
We're here with Ben McDermott, Australian and Tasmanian cricketer. Ben, so we talked about your selection in the Australian T20 side. Now, the World T20 has been delayed in Australia, but that must be a big aim for you personally and for the whole T20 side, sort of focused on winning that T20 World Cup.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think for me, that's pinnacle. I think playing a World Cup would be definitely one of the bucket list things and in my career. So I'm really looking forward to trying to getting those opportunities to lock down my spot in the middle order there. That's pretty much the main goal. So hopefully I can do that in this sort of up and coming tour of England, if I get the nod.
And since you've been in the Aussie squad a few times, what are the things you've really picked up about being in that team?
Well, not to run yourself out for one. Yeah, you just learn off those sort of David Warner, Steve Smith, those guys. You're playing with them, and you just pick up little things of how they play and how they go about it, and how differently they go about it as well. And you need to just play your own way, and you got to play your own game. You can't be trying to do anything that you can't be trying to mimic David Warner. You can't be trying to mimic Steve Smith. You got to go about it in your own way, and I think that's the main thing I've sort of got out of playing with those guys. You need to do it your own way and play your own game. That's what got you there, and that's what's going to keep you there.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to try and mimic Steve Smith. That would be tough, his technique. What about the specialisation now we're seeing? So, for example, Chris Lynn, probably only a couple of years older than you, decided he would focus on white ball cricket. Have you sort of ever thought that's a possibility for you, or are you really dead set on playing all forms?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that's always been the goal, is to play three formats of cricket. So, yeah, I know what it's like. It's really enjoyable. I mean, it's really enjoyable playing white ball cricket all the time, and I understand where he's coming from there. But I always wanted to don the baggy green, and that's why I play. So it's nice playing T20 cricket and being included in this one day T20 squad. But the ultimate goal is to play Test cricket. So yeah, I've never really thought about it too hard.
And then are you sort of looking at how you can improve your red ball game? You know, you've sort of played 30 matches, you're averaging about 30. I guess you'd be looking to push that up.
Definitely. It's not the easiest place to bat down here in Bellerive Oval. But yeah, that's definitely tricky, and it's a balancing act where you need to survive down here and really get to day three and four where you can cash in and the wicket gets a bit flatter, and then cash in when you go away. So I think all our young players that have sort of come up and started their careers down here when the wicket's been really spicy and over the last sort of 4 years, I think those guys are all, you know, high 20s, around 30 as well. So it's pretty difficult down in Tassie, but I think we're sort of coming up with ways how we can combat that, and we can play really well down here as well. So yeah, we're just looking forward to this year, and hopefully we can get a lot of cricket in.
One other question, back on 2018, when you had your stint for East Molesey in the Surrey Premier League, how was that? It looked like it must have been fun. You got a century to conclude, but I noticed in there as well, there's a game that you guys got bowled out for 28. What was that like?
Yeah, that was interesting game as well. Yeah, that we just kept falling over. I don't know. I don't really know what happened. It's another one of those days where I think a bowler had a day out and he just didn't miss the stumps, and we just kept missing it. So that was an interesting game and an interesting summer for me as well. I just really struggled with the bat. I came good towards the end after I got back from Canada. But to start that summer off, I had a stinker and I could not score a run. I had another stint in England where that was a very similar case with Henley Cricket Club in 2014, I think it was.
That where Ashton Agar played as well?
Yeah. It was through a Cricket Australia academy where we'd go over and we'd train with Hampshire or at their facilities, and then we'd all go off in different clubs and play club cricket for this summer. So, yeah, that my English club career hasn't been too good to date.
And is that just the ball coming onto the bat? I played a season in England and it really different the way the ball came onto the bat really different. Was that your sort of feeling?
Yeah, growing up in Australia, you're used to the pace on the ball, and in England it's complete opposite. So it was just a change for me. And yeah, like I said, I came good towards the end. I started to get the hang of it and managed to get a few away. But yeah, just growing up in Australia, it was just completely different. It was spinning and keeping low and slow as well. So, yeah, it was an eye-opener and definitely helped me in growing as a cricketer, I reckon.
If you get a crack on them again.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. Presumably, when you do next play in England, even, you know, hopefully at the highest level, that experience will be something you can draw on.
That's it. Yeah, I think you only learn from time in the middle, and I think that's yeah, definitely a massive part. You can't really substitute that in training in the nets. You just have to be out in the middle, and I think that's the only way that I learn and get better. So, yeah, you can go back on that and put it in the bank and hopefully get better from it and see some more results when we get up to that level.
Now, Ben, I'm going to come clean. Paul and I are quite a bit older than you. So we were fortunate enough to see your dad play a lot for Australia when he was growing up. He was leading the attack. Craig McDermott, of course, took almost 300 test wickets. Has he had an influence on your cricket career?
Yes, big time. Yeah.
Yep. So you talk to him a lot?
Yeah, big time. I think, one of the only reasons why I sort of started playing was for that reason. So, yeah, talk to him a lot still and bounce ideas off him about my game. And yeah, when I can, he's very good to talk to about cricket.
I guess you wouldn't have many memories, though. I think he was probably retired, you know, when you could. So have you gone back and watched the highlights of him, you know, the mid-80s taking on the Windies and stuff?
Oh, you see odd highlights and a few of his stories. But, yeah, I've got no memories personally. But just seeing highlights on TV and stuff like that, you know, he had some talent, so.
I actually had dinner with your dad in the 93 Ashes tour. He had to come home with an injury. And I was friends with the team manager. So we all had dinner together and your dad was shattered having to leave the Ashes tour. It was, shattering for him. But did he still talk about the Windies in Adelaide 93, the ball brushing his helmet, you know, at Christmas dinners? Does he still complain about that decision?
No, I've never heard that story once.
I'd be interested because it's something that's frustrated men as me for a long time because Australia needed 2 to win. And your dad got given out and we're sure that it hit his helmet. And if there was press, it would have been challenged, would have been overturned, Australia would have won, would have been a famous series win because the West Indies hadn't lost for 13 years. So you should raise it with him next time you're having dinner with him.
I definitely will, actually. I'm surprised he never told me that story, actually. He probably has, but might have been over a few too many at Christmas or something.
I think he's trying to forget. There was that one and there was a frustrating game at the SCG against South Africa where your dad came in and smashed 20 or 30 in a tight chase and almost got Australia over the line, but that was the match Damien Martin got out. So, yeah, look, your dad's got lots of stories for this Christmas. Ben, we are ending every winter series with a few quick questions on, you know, if you're made the god of cricket and you can rule on these things. So the first question is, I have a thing in the Big Bash that when the crowd catches the six, they should be able to keep the ball. Do you think this is a good idea?
Baseball option. Yeah, I don't mind it. That's good. I like that. And hopefully they can bring a new ball out as well. So it's just a bit harder off the bat.
Yeah, I reckon a standard ball like in baseball, it's kind of roughly 6-7 overs old, that kind of ball. Hard, but not too shiny. Crowd catches it, they just give you a new one.
Like it. I'm all for it.
What about the length of games in the Big Bash? It's now gone to 14 games. I kind of like it. A lot of people don't. What do you think of that?
I think it needs to be expand. I think we need to play it over more time. It was very tight. I'd play as many games as possible, but we just need more time. I think it was just a touch tight this year. And I think that has expanded a little bit, and there's more time to play those games. So I'm really enjoying the 14 games and. Yeah, I think it's expanded. So I'm liking this schedule coming up.
What about DRS in the Big Bash? Should it be there?
I'm going to say yes. It's a really expensive tool, but I think it's really worth it. So yes, I like that as well.
I do too.
What about four-day test matches? Would you be a fan of those?
No. I think just last night, backs that up. I reckon that was a spectacular game of cricket. So 5 days.
Which ball do you like to play with in the Shield? They've ditched the Duke ball for next summer. Do you have a preference, Dukes or Kookaburra?
Kookaburra. Any day of the week.
Bit less swing.
Yep. Kookaburra every day of the week. Just comes off the bat nicer and doesn't move as much. So
I can imagine the Duke ball in down in Hobart would be pretty tricky.
Yuck. Yep. It's no fun at all.
And just lastly, who's the best bowler you've ever faced?
Rashid Khan, I think, in T20 cricket. And, well, it's going to have to be domestically through 4-day cricket, but I'll just leave it at Rashid Khan. There's so many good bowlers around Australia at the moment with Red Bull. So, yeah, Rashid Khan, probably the best all-up I've faced.
Yeah, he looks so difficult, so quick through the air.
Yeah, no, his variations are so subtle as well, but they do so much off the wicket. It's hard to pick up, especially if you're not at a night game. It's tough to see where his wrist is going and where he's releasing it from. So, yeah, he's tough to pick.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining us on the Winter Series. It's been really great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys. That was enjoyable.
Best of luck preparing for a possible tour in next summer, and we'll see you around the domestic cricket scene.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks. Thank you.
That was Ben McDermott, Australian T20 player and Tasmanian star. Well, that was interesting, wasn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it was great. It's interesting how successful people don't need to dig themselves up. If I was Craig McDermott, I would have sat down with my son and taken him through every single test match I'd ever played in. So I suppose when you've had that much...
Especially when he dismissed Viv Richards or something, you know, you'd be having him on every Christmas.
Yeah, I'd have my whole highlights up every Christmas. It was interesting how they haven't really discussed his career so much. But, yeah, it was enjoyable chatting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether Ben gets picked for this tour of England. It's going to be a weird tour if it goes ahead. But he has, you know, we talked about that innings, that 100 that he scored that just was magical. And I think whenever you see a player that can do that, then you can never take them lightly. And certainly wouldn't be out of place that in the years to come for him to become a fixture in the Australian short form games.
Absolutely. And we commentated him during a Shield match. And I'm actually very impressed with his technique. It's very classical. He's got a nice straight bat in defence. So the sky's the limit for Ben McDermott. He's only 25. And, that's another Winter Series episode done. You can find us on social media at Oz Cricket Pod. That's AUS Cricket Pod. Go on to our YouTube page, Cricket Unfiltered, for our YouTube show. And I guess we'll be back soon, Paul.
Yep. That was fun.
Thank you, listeners. Bye-bye.
It's almost that time. Time for you to kick back, relax, and binge on some unturn-offable TV. You can start streaming the world's best shows on Binge. Like Ballers, Entourage, Game of Thrones, Raised by Wolves, and loads more. Start streaming now with a 14-day free trial for new customers at binge.com.au. Binge. It's unturnoffable.
Looking for a new podcast to listen to? Here's what we love, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Hey, I'm Bert from The Bert Show. You have people on a show that really don't like morning shows.
Stealing an entire school bus. I gotta be honest. That is my dream still.
Why take initiative when you can take a nap?
I like keeping it real and I like keeping it gross.
So we created a show that we really wanted to hear. It's real and it's funny and we will talk about our personal lives. We're not scared of anything.
Okay, if you want this prize right here, you're gonna have to work for it.
What I love most about this show is everybody's vulnerability.
And though our perspectives may be different, working together is actually fun.
We put the fun in dysfunction.
I think it's unlike anything that you've heard before.
The Bert Show. New episodes every weekday and the weekly top 10 on Saturdays. Listen to this show on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast
recommends.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.